Radio Prague News.
The Civic Democratic Party has announced plans for pension and tax reforms to be presented in new rounds of negotiations seeking support for a minority cabinet. The leader of the Party of European Democrats, Jana Hibashkova, says that her party may launch a constitutional appeal to remove the Social Democrats from power, and Tomáš Rosický has been named the new captain of the Czech national football squad. The leading Civic Democratic candidate for the post of Minister of Finance, Vlastimil Tlustý, has announced that in addition to early elections, his party intends to present several reform proposals. The Civic Democrats plan to present concrete pension and tax reform proposals to the other parties during negotiations over support for a Civic Democratic minority cabinet. Mr. Tlustý told reporters that the other parties will likely ruin everything, but that the Civic Democrats must try. Mr. Tlustý also confirmed that Prime Minister-designate Mirek Topolánek will present his cabinet to President Václav Klaus on Friday. The official naming of the new ministers will then depend on the president. Meanwhile, the Social Democrat leader and outgoing Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek says that he expects to be entrusted with the task of forming a new government in October, since he does not believe that a minority Civic Democratic government can win a confidence vote in the lower house. The leader of the Party of European Democrats, Jana Hibashkova, announced on Wednesday that her party wants to launch a constitutional appeal in order to remove the Social Democrats from power, because they do not respect court rulings and endanger democracy. Ms. Hibashkova made the statements at a press conference where she aired the grievances of the European Democrats, who are owed about 15 million crowns, that's just over $681,000, according to a May court ruling. The dispute over the money for campaign contributions dates back to 2002, when the European Democrats ran as an association rather than as a party or registered coalition. It is on this count that the Ministry of Finance has refused to make the payment, despite the court ruling in favor of the European Democrats. And Tomáš Rosický has been named new captain of the Czech Republic's football team. Rosický was chosen by senior players and the Czech team's management on Tuesday evening. The 25-year-old Arsenal midfielder said that it was a great honor to captain the national team, adding that their current target was qualification for the European Championships in 2 years' time. And finally, a look at the weather. Rain showers are forecast for the next several days, with daytime highs reaching a maximum of 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Linda Maštalíš, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. In today's program, plans to close Prague's famous Charles Bridge to visitors because of a private party cause outrage among the public. Will new roads in Prague bring an increase in traffic? And on the eve of the 70th anniversary of Radio Prague's first broadcast, we'll hear what's in store for the future. Also, in the second part of Ian Willoughby's special program today, we again travel to Radio Prague's original transmission site. Stay tuned. It was to be the party of the year, given by the prestigious fashion company Louis Vuitton on Prague's most famous landmark, Charles Bridge. However, the idea that Charles Bridge, considered a national treasure, should be closed to the public for 2 days because of a private party has elicited so much criticism that city councillors have had to step in and lay down strict new rules pertaining to the two-day lease. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Louis Vuitton had big plans for Charles Bridge, a fashion show and a private party featuring the American pop star Madonna. The famous Gothic bridge dating back to the 14th century seemed the perfect setting, and the company received all the necessary permits needed to organize the event, including the green light from Prague One mayor Vladimir Vihaň. However, Mr. Vihaň, who said he thought the event would bring the Czech capital excellent publicity, clearly underestimated highlighted what Charles Bridge means to Czechs. News that it was to be closed to the public for 2 days elicited a storm of criticism from the public, from the media, from a number of senators, and last but not least, from many Prague councillors who said they had not been informed about the decision. Too much fuss about a 2-day party? Richard Beagle from the Club for Ancient Prague explains that for most Czechs, Charles Bridge is almost sacred ground.
What's interesting for me is the direction of the public. People in Prague, or almost in Czech Republic, take Charles Bridge as something almost sacral, something like symbol of nation, of city. And I think that they understand the rent of Charles Bridge as a rent of cathedral, something like this. So it could be rent for some culture action or something like this, but no for a business, for a party or for something like that. I think that it's really unique, and it was something for me, something very astonished that they wanted to rent it some private business party.
The mayor of Prague, Pavel Bem, entered the dispute, promising that Charles Bridge would not be closed to the public for so much as an hour, and that every precaution would be taken to prevent it being damaged. Jiří Wolf is the town hall spokesman.
Tak ten záměr zviditelnit Prahu a historické památky hlavního města Prahy.
Of course, we understand that this would give Prague excellent publicity. But at a meeting of city councillors on Tuesday, it was agreed that certain conditions would have to be met. Primarily, the bridge must not be closed down altogether for any length of time. Secondly, that we would have a surveillance team on the spot throughout to make sure the bridge isn't damaged. And thirdly, that the event should not last longer than 1 day. The problem is that we had no rules about this in the past, which is something we're going to correct right away, produce a set of rules relating to the potential lease of any Prague landmark.
Louis Vuitton has been offered alternate locations where it would not be restricted in its plans. Either that, or it must accept the tough new conditions laid out.
In the Czech Republic, the first motorway was opened as late as in 1971. It was completed many years after construction, slowed down by the Second World War and the communists began. By the time the communist regime fell, the only motorway that was fully completed was that connecting Prague to Brno, which somewhat unusually runs through the heart of the Czech capital. Increasing road construction is gradually overwhelming Prague with traffic. But experts say the worst has yet to come. With the country now an EU member, there's great pressure to have a complete network of motorways that connects the country's regions and Prague to neighbouring states. Dieter Asiedu reports.
Endless lines of cars, bumper to bumper, nervous motorists honking away, an ambulance tries to squeeze through congested traffic. Prague drivers think their commute around the city is a curse. But experts warn that as soon new stretches of motorway leading into the city open this year and the next, this nightmare may then seem to have been a walk in the park. Paradoxically, one of them is Jan Hotení, the spokesman for the Czech Road and Motorway Directorate that is actually responsible for the construction of some of these roads.
The year 2006 will see a record 70-kilometer stretch of motorway opened. This will surely increase the number of visitors to Prague, but it will also help to relieve villages and smaller towns of passing through traffic. The problem with Prague is that all motorways lead to the city, and there's nothing that diverts the traffic. It's therefore imperative that the Ring Road is completed as soon as possible. So far, only 17 of the 80 or more planned kilometres have been completed. But some districts on the outskirts of Prague are blocking this plan and are delaying construction.
But as Miroslav Reichardt from City Hall's transport department says, a new plan needs not be adopted to battle the expected influx of cars.
Holding a discussion on how Prague should brace itself for more traffic in the future is unnecessary, because we've been working on ways to manage traffic ever since the 1990s. We introduced measures to block some of the traffic coming into the city and, together with the Public Transport Authority, are now offering parking spaces to drivers close to metro stations. People are warming up to the idea of parking their cars on the outskirts of Prague and commuting to the centre by public transport.
Prague's lack of a ring road, experts say, is the key problem. Mr. Reichardt says the most important part is already under construction and expects the entire ring road to be completed by 2013. So until then, Prague residents will most likely have to battle heavy traffic and pollution. And if they live in a congested part of the city, hope that they'll not need the quick services of an ambulance.
Dieter Asiedu reporting. Now, this Thursday is Radio Prague's 70th birthday. On August the 31st, the first ever program in English was broadcast from Prague, and the date is considered the birth of the International Shortwave Service in Czechoslovakia. On that occasion, I spoke to Radio Prague's editor-in-chief, Gerald Schubert, who stresses that in 2006, Radio Prague is much more than a shortwave radio station.
Of course it is. For more than 10 years we offer web pages of Radio Prague, of course in all the six languages we are broadcasting in. And the development of these internet pages is, I think, very good. We have about 500,000 visitors every month. That means that we certainly don't have to hide ourselves in that case.
Radio Prague's website offers all the stories we cover, both in sound and text, but also much more.
Yes, of course. I mean, what we now offer is the possibility to podcast our stories. Podcasting is a technology that enables the computer to download automatically. Actually, you kind of teach the computer what you're interested in. You tell the computer what kind of audio files you want to have on your hard disk, and the computer regularly does this download, and then you can listen to that program on your computer or on your MP3 player. That means that actually you can kind of create a made-to-measure program for yourself and compose your own radio program.
What are the plans for the near future, both in terms of new technology and content of Radio Prague's broadcasts?
So, of course, the podcasting is not the last step in the technical evolution. We also, in the future, we will have to find the right balance between the different platforms we are presenting our program on. We broadcast on shortwave, we have internet, we broadcast on satellite. Mainly between the broadcasting on shortwave and via internet, there is some difference in how you create a story. You will write differently if you write for a radio program or if you write for an internet web page. So the question is always how far the internet pages should kind of mirror our radio program, or whether we want to see it as a separate medium. So this is a current discussion not only in Radio Prague, but actually in all the radio stations in the world. And concerning contents, I would like to stress our international programs. We are, Radio Prague is part of some international programs in some international projects in different languages. For instance, in the English version, there is something called Network Europe. Maybe our listeners know that it's a cooperation between different English foreign programs in Europe. Something similar is existing in our German version, something similar is existing in our French version. And another big international program where we could maybe cover these three language versions in one big trilingual international program is maybe on the way. And I think this is a very interesting perspective for the future, because in a globalized or globalizing world, there should be some kind of, I would say, international domestic news.
That was Gerald Schubert, Radio Prague's editor-in-chief, who's from Vienna and was previously a member of our German department for a number of years. And just a reminder, please don't forget to tune in tomorrow for our special program dedicated to the 70th anniversary. And we also have a very special 70th anniversary QSL card for those of you who will send us a reception report with details of tomorrow's broadcast. And continuing with the topic of Radio Prague's 70th birthday, we now bring you the second part of Ian Willoughby's special program recorded at Radio Prague's original transmission center in Poděbrady.
Radio Prague made its first ever broadcast 70 years ago, on August 31st, 1936. Ahead of Thursday's anniversary, I visited our original transmission center in Poděbrady, central Bohemia. I was accompanied by Czech radio's shortwave expert, Oldřich Cheap, whose old radio pseudonym is Peter Skala. Today, in the second half of this two-part report, he and I discuss the beginnings of Radio Prague, communist-era radio jamming, and the future of shortwave broadcasting. But Oldřich first tells me what we would have seen 70 years ago, inside the transmission center's now empty main hall.
Well, you could see here a number of transmitters. First were these alternators generating relatively low frequency wireless energy. Then there was a tube transmitter here, and gradually, now, for instance, in the 1970s, there were transmitters of 5, 30, 40, 50, and even of 80 kilowatts in this hall, installed for various purposes. In fact, there is also a darker side to this hall, because in 1952, after Radio Free Europe started its broadcast in Czech in 1951, transmitters from here were used for jamming Radio Free Europe programs.
How successful was that jamming? Was it complete, or would some people be able to still pick up some broadcasts?
This is a good question. I think that on short waves, you cannot never achieve complete jamming. And if you understand a bit the principles of how shortwave propagate, I, for one, could always hear Radio Free Europe in Czech, although the jamming was afterwards. You know, when it started here in 1952, this was almost nothing. But then the jamming system became more sophisticated. But even under those conditions, you could always be able to hear some frequencies clearly. Especially if you went outside, because there were also local jammers. You know, the hill, Petřin Hill, above Prague, there was a local jammer. This could be quite effective for the coverage of Prague. But when I went to our country house in northwest Bohemia, you could always find some frequency that was clear.
You were telling me earlier also about some plans to build a radio museum here in Poděbrady.
Yes, and I am personally quite disappointed that the idea to build, to convert this very interesting, architecturally interesting building into a sort of a radio wireless museum of the Czech and Czechoslovak Republic, that it didn't materialize. Unfortunately, and as we have probably told the listeners, it's now the property of, it belongs to a golf club, Poděbrady Golf Club. So it has absolutely nothing to do with wireless radio now.
About international broadcasting in general, Radio Prague started 70 years ago in 1936. Did other countries start international broadcasting around the same time, or how advanced in this area was Czechoslovakia?
I think probably the earliest international broadcasting starting from the Netherlands, in if I am correct, in 1927. BBC or so-called Empire Service started in the first half of 1930s. Nazi propaganda started probably at the same time. So I think that the creation or the launch of shortwave broadcasting in Czechoslovakia corresponded to these developments in Europe in this era.
And who were the people in this country who really pushed for it, who were behind the project? Were they politicians or radio people?
I think both. The international broadcasting from Project Brady became a part of Radio Journal. That was the name of the company that existed for domestic broadcasting in the former Czechoslovakia. And of course, the politicians also realized that in this pre-war era of tension and of propaganda that was beamed from Germany, something has to be done to get the voice of the free Czechoslovak Republic heard around the world.
Today, Radio Prague broadcasts in 6 languages. I know at various times it broadcast in many more languages under the communists. At the beginning, how many languages? 70 years ago, do you know how many languages was Radio Prague broadcasting in 1936?
I think that it would be very difficult to get this number because there were irregular programs in some quite unusual languages, for instance, from the Balkans. And so the actual number, it was not so regular. Some irregular broadcasting took place in English, of course, was represented. German was represented. French was represented. But there were also other languages from time to time.
I presume in those days the radio broadcasts consisted of speech or mostly of speech. Is that the case?
Yes, but there were also programs of music from recordings. For instance, the early experimental transmissions from Poděbrady Brady consisted of music from gramophone records. We still know about reception reports coming to Radio Prague from that era that reported listening to music. Experimental musical programs. But of course, the main content was speech.
Would it have been mostly prepared written texts, news, as opposed to, say, interviews?
I'm sure that most of the output was written and read in the studio, because the recording equipment of that era was also not very advanced, and so the actual transmission or broadcasting from the studio was probably prevalent.
What about during the Second World War? Did Radio Prague continue broadcasting in that era?
Definitely not, but there was some limited use by the occupation powers, that is, by the Nazi occupiers. I heard that there was some broadcasting in Czech, but maybe the transmitter that was used here and that was quite modern was used by the Nazis for their own broadcasting.
We're here today in the old transmitting center of Radio Prague. It was shortwave transmissions. About shortwave radio, are you optimistic for the future of the medium, so to speak, of shortwave broadcasting? Do you think it has a future?
I'm sure it has a future, but the future is, of course, limited by other platforms that are used by international broadcasting. Shortwave was practically the only platform that was in existence in the 1930s, in the era of the Cold War, and even some time afterwards. But now, with the emergence of internet, of handheld phones, and other technical developments, it will continue to be in existence, but there will be other competing means of transmission or of delivery of programs to listeners.
Are you afraid there could perhaps be a loss of political will to continue with shortwave international broadcasting? Already in Europe, we've seen a couple of smaller countries lose their international broadcasting.
Yes, I think that is a preoccupation not only of me, but of other international broadcasters and of people who work in this field. But at the same time, I am confident that some form of international broadcasting will survive and will continue throughout this millennium.
And that brings us to the end of today's show. Please tune in again tomorrow for our special program on the 70th anniversary of Radio Prague. From me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in the Czech capital, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, onde courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.